Particularly our local PEFC family, we hope you get the sense of being in church this morning. We are all gathered at our screens and listening, tuned in Peacehaven and actually all across the globe. So thank you for joining us this morning. We all know that we are facing something in our lives that is affecting everyone. We're all in the same boat, this corona pandemic. We've seen it affecting people all around the world. In our own family, it's had an effect on our lives, in our community, in our country, and around the globe. We feel it in our daily lives, and it's continuing. We haven't seen the end of it yet. We don't know how long it's going to last for, how many lives it's going to take, how it's going to affect our economy. Understandably, people are fearful, are concerned, they have many questions. But as Christians, we have a hiding place, we have a resting place, a refuge, a strength in our God. And we have a renewed strength and a hope and a peace that we find in Him. Even though there are things that we may not have the answers to, we know Him. We may not know why or how or when, but we know Him. And that's enough for us to find peace and rest in our hearts. We know this time also serves for an opportunity for pause in every one of our lives. We can consider things that perhaps we've neglected as a believer. We can look at this season with prayerfulness. We can say to God, oh, we want Him to renew something in our lives, to quicken us once more, to give us a renewed sense of our purpose and our calling, if you like, a personal revival in our hearts that will come out of this time. Let's believe God for that, something new. Being in our Bibles, reading the Bible every day with hunger and expectation, perhaps even that's something new for you. But let God bring something new out of this time. Let's seek Him and find opportunities to have time with Him and to minister to people. As we pray, we're seeing that God is using this to open hearts. So many churches around the world, including this one, have seen so many people tuning in through the live stream. And that's exciting. We believe that that's an indication of what God is doing in people's lives. Hundreds and hundreds of people were connecting with us last week. Our last Sunday message eventually got over 1,000 or so connections with different people tuning in. So let's pray that God will continue to do that. Last week we had a message of, when we had the message of peace in troubled times. And one of the precious ladies in our church sent me this poem after that message, and I'd like to read that to you, and then we'll pray and we'll go to our text this morning. Until I learned to trust, I did not learn to pray. And I did not learn to fully trust till sorrows came my way. Until I felt my weakness, His strength I never knew. Nor dreamed till I was stricken that He would see me through. Who deepest drinks of sorrow, drinks deepest too of grace. He sends the storm so He Himself can be our hiding place. His heart that seeks our highest good knows well when things annoy. We would not long for heaven if earth held only joy. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we thank You for this opportunity to take pause in this moment to look to You with faith in our hearts, with open Bibles, open hearts, looking to You together. We pray that through Your word You would quicken our hearts, that You would cause certain truths and promises to rise to the surface and speak to us, that You would give us rhema, a quickening, an assurance, and a renewed faith. During this time and through this message, we pray in Jesus' name, amen, amen. We're looking into back to the Old Testament this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we'll look at the story and we'll bring some wonderful wonderful principles to light. Of course, this is a time on David's timeline where he's really just at the end of his long exile. He's been hunted by Saul day and night, and we'll see in the next chapter in 2 Samuel chapter 2, he will become the king of Judah, and then chapter 5, the king over all Israel. So this final chapter, we could say, of his exile actually serves as a point of promotion for him. Although in the beginning, David perhaps certainly couldn't see that. It seems to be a great tragedy, a great crisis, an unbelievable situation he is in. Nevertheless, through it, God uses it and to bring him to the throne. So let's look in chapter 30, 1 Samuel, verse 1. Now it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, they attacked and burned it with fire. These words, now it happened, or in some translations, it came to pass. And oh, sometimes it will come to pass. Sometimes something will happen. It will change our world. The day before, it wasn't like this. And then all of a sudden, something comes to pass. Something happens, and it changes our lives. It may seem to come out of nowhere. All of a sudden, you find yourself in a crisis. David is about to face one of the severest trials and testing that he ever had to face. His world was about to be flipped in a moment, and he would have nowhere to turn to but God. The Amalekites had attacked the city. They burned it with fire. But it was much worse than that. Look in verse 2. And had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So these men with David returned from battle, and as they came, they saw on the horizon the city of Ziklag. They saw the smoke rising from it. They began to be fearful and think about their families, their wives, their loved ones, all of their possessions, everything they owned. They began to look to the city. They began to think, oh, my family, my loved ones, my children. Perhaps they began to run. And when they got to the city there, sure enough, with the smoke rising and everything was burned and it was silent. There was no one there. Everyone had been taken captive. So verse 3, David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Their homes, everything, their families, gone. They would have become slaves to the Amalekites. And then verse 4, and David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices, and they wept. Perhaps we could identify that with that in some measure. I'm sure there are times and troubles and things that we have all had to face, maybe in this very hour that we are facing. And David and these mighty men, these are warriors, these are soldiers who've been fighting on the front line. In this moment, they are reduced to tears. Perhaps they fall to their knees in the dust and they just sob. They are completely at the end of themselves. They are completely overwhelmed. Their hearts are broken. They cannot see any answer, any remedy to this. They dropped their swords and fell to the ground, and they wept. It says, actually, until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been in that place? I have. I remember. I'm sure you maybe remember times when you are weeping and you are overwhelmed and you feel like you have no more tears to shed. The word weep here, to lament, to bemoan, a deep mourning of loss. Verse 5 tells us, and David's two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail, had also been taken captive. So David was also affected. In fact, everyone was affected. Not one person was a spectator looking on thinking, oh, this doesn't affect me. But everyone was touched by it. Not unlike our current situation. Perhaps in different ways, in different measure, but everyone is affected. It's on everyone's minds. Some people are, I know some who have actually lost loved ones in their family through this. People are losing their jobs. Their livelihood is in the balance. They have many questions in their lives. They don't have an immediate answer. This touched everyone, and this touches everyone. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. For the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. And here the term, the soul of the people grieved, is that they had bitterness of soul. And now David was in distress and weeping and broken, not only because of his personal loss, but his own men looked to him and were ready to stone him. So we read these words, and David was greatly distressed. Greatly here means completely, wholly, exceedingly, utterly. It's a superlative. He couldn't have been more distressed than he was in this moment. And the word distressed, watch this word, this is an important one. It means to press. The word distress, it means to be narrow, that there is no way out. It's like being in a wine press and you are feel as though you're being crushed. It's a tight place, and it speaks of trouble. The walls are coming in around you, and you might not see any way out. Some of you might say that sounds like self-isolating, but it's much worse than that. Utterly distressed, but look at this. David was greatly distressed, but... And this is a key moment in our passage. This is a key principle in this message. That in the crisis, in the moment, in the trial, in his distress, David in his heart was able to look to God. Let's look at it. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And this word but is that moment. It's that key moment, that orientation, that decision in his heart. It means but, or despite everything that was happening, David opposed it or resisted it in this way. On one hand, there was unbelievable tragedy and loss, and even treachery and peril and fear for his own life. But he opposed them all with this word, but. This moment, this decision, when David encouraged himself in his God, is a determining factor in this story. So much is rooted back to this moment. If he hadn't encouraged himself in this moment, it would have been a different story. So David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And as I read this, I found myself being stuck on that word, his God. Notice that. It doesn't say David encouraged himself in the Lord God, or in the Lord God of Israel, or he encouraged himself in the God of Abraham and Isaac or his forefathers. It says David encouraged himself in his God. This highlights the personal nature of David's faith. We see this through the Psalms. We see it in Psalm 63, where David says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. And that's different, isn't it, than just praying to God who is distant, praying to the God of Abraham, the God of Israel. Of course, that's beautiful and precious, but there's an emphasis here, a principle here, something very personal in David's faith. And in this moment and in his prayer, he could no longer say, my house, my city, my possessions, but he could say, my God. And if we lose everything, but we have him, oh, we are greatly rich, we are greatly blessed. But if we have all possessions and we do not have him, if we cannot say these words, my God, how poor we are. One man may pray to God. But it's not personal. It's not his God. It has to be personal. that a man would look to his God, his Father, his Savior. Oh, and many today, perhaps even listening online or normally attending our churches across our land, perhaps they have a distant faith, a theological idea of biblical truths. They've been going to church for many years, but can they say, my God, my Savior, my Lord? Is it personal? Many may have faith towards Christ, but is there faith in him? Has God become your God through Jesus Christ? Has Jesus become your Savior? It's one thing to say Jesus died for the sins of the world and how precious and important and foundational that is. But Paul was able to say Jesus who loves me and died for me. Galatians 2:20 and 21. This was the expression of David's heart. He encouraged himself in his God. Now the word encouraged here, chazak, is my impeccable Hebrew pronunciation of that word, C-H-A-Z-A-Q. It's used 300 times in the Old Testament. And it means this, watch this, to fortify, to strengthen, to mend, to restore, to support, to edify, to fix, to repair, to cure, to make strong, to make of good courage, to encourage. The word is used in Nehemiah 3 when they are building the wall. You may remember they were repairing that which was broken down. This is the word that is used 27 times in that one chapter. They repaired the wall that was broken down. Also in Nehemiah 6:9. Nehemiah says, oh, they were all trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands for the work. And that's the word, chazak here, strengthen my hands. For God does strengthen us. God does encourage us. Remember when God spoke to Joshua and he said to him, be strong and of good courage. That's the word there, be strong. Be encouraged, be fortified, be repaired, be built up in this moment. For God does encourage us. But also we can be encouraged by another person. For Moses was told to encourage Joshua also. In Deuteronomy 3:28, charge Joshua, encourage him. Oh Moses, you encourage Joshua who will lead the people in. And this one, I love this particular reference, also referring to David in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. And then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And that's the word. He encouraged him. He built him up. He fortified him. He mended him. For David was in the wood. He was withdrawn. He was running from Saul. He feared for his life. And yet Jonathan came into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Have you ever had anyone come into the wood that you were in, into your situation, and encourage you and strengthen you in the Lord with truth? For this is what he does. Jonathan said, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you. You will be king over Israel. I will be next to you. Even my father knows this. He encourages David, for he recognizes David would be king, for he was the Lord's anointed. But here, David encourages himself. Certainly, God can encourage me, and another person can encourage me, but this is an important principle. It's how to encourage yourself. How could he do that? Well, we have an answer to that question in some measure because we have the books of Psalms, that we have the Psalms, of many of which David wrote in his times of trouble. For if we look at 1 Samuel, we see the background, the history. When he was running from Saul, from cave to cave, in fear of his life. And yet the Psalms are a secret window that show us what was happening in his heart. That in the midst of his trouble, he would look to God He had prayers that would rise to heaven. He had faith that would rest in his God. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. He decided he wouldn't let his emotions run away with him. He wouldn't let his circumstances dictate how he felt or how he was doing. But he looked beyond that. He could look to God. The same is important for us. We are careful about what it is that's making impressions on our hearts and our minds in this time, with the news and the media and the words and the fear. And we say, oh, that will not dictate to me how I am doing in my life, but I will look to God. I will hear God's still small voice. I will have communion with him. And though 1 Samuel is the history, Psalms is what's happening in his heart, and David is encouraging himself in the Lord. Listen to this psalm. In Psalm 42:5, David says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, his face. So David is counseling his own soul. Hey, soul, why are you disquieted within me? Why are you cast down? Hope in God. And this self-talk, this counseling of my own soul, speaking to myself in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, taking an assertiveness in faith in my heart in the moment where I say, all of this is happening, but, oh God, you are true. You are faithful. You are with me. Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. And then he repeats it in a similar way. I think it's at the end, the last verse in the psalm. I think it's 11. He says again, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance. And notice that changes. Before he says, the help of his countenance is the help of my countenance. Or the King James says, the health of my countenance. I like that. The help of his countenance is the health of my countenance. So David turns to God. He begins to rehearse truth in his heart, build himself up in the truth. And then watch this, verse 7. Then David goes to God in prayer. Verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. It was a vestment that was worn by the priest for prayer purposes. It would have an Ur and a Thummim to cast lots, if you will, to determine, to help get an answer to my prayer. And verse 8 says, so David inquired of the Lord. Now notice the progression here. David was distressed. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and then David inquired of the Lord. In Psalm 118, verse 5, it says, I called on the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The word is large place, an enlargement, an open space. From distress, where it's tight, it's a tight place, God heard me and brought me into a broad place. And David asked this question, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him and said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all. So in response to his prayer, David gets an assurance, a peace, if you will. And how often peace will govern our hearts. We have considered that together in Philippians 4:7. That when we are not anxious for anything, but we're prayerful in everything, peace will govern our hearts. We'll sense his pleasure, his guidance leading us if we really want him to lead us. So such a comforting word David gets from the Lord. Verse 9, so David went, he and 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those who stayed were left behind, and the 600 became 400. In verse 10, he pursued, he and his 400 men, and then they found an Egyptian in the field. And the story goes like this. He was distressed. He encouraged himself. He inquired. And then here in verse 10, David pursued. He pursued. He went after the enemy. And they found an Egyptian in the field. The Egyptian had been there 3 days, no food. He was right on the brink of death. They gave him some food, and he revived. And David asked him, "Where are you from?" He says, "Oh, I am a slave of an Amalekite." And he says, "Can you tell me where they are? And he says, "If you spare my life, I'll tell you." So this Egyptian leads David and his men to where the enemy is rejoicing with their spoils of war. You can't help recognize this Egyptian, almost at death in the field, was perhaps a point of providence in the story, perhaps an answer to David's prayer, a way that God would lead them. Sometimes we don't recognize answers to prayer or points of providence like that in our lives. Nevertheless, they are there. And he came and he saw the enemy rejoicing. If you skip down to verse 16, and when he had brought him down, there they were, spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all of the great spoil they had taken from Philistines and Judah. Verse 17, and then David attacked them from twilight until the evening the next day. We can gather from this story that they were certainly outnumbered. There's no question of that. But not a man of them escaped, except it mentions 400 who rode on camels and fled for the hills for their lives. So that's how we know at one point that they were outnumbered. 400 of them escaped. David only had 400. But notice again the progression. In verse 18 it says, so David recovered all. David was greatly distressed. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He pursued them, and then he recovered all. He recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Look again in verse 19. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Now, I don't know if David could have even imagined that in the moment of his distress. But if David hadn't encouraged himself in the Lord, the story wouldn't have ended like this. That was a key moment for David. That despite everything that was happening in his heart, there was the opposition to all of that negativity, all of that that was coming against him, and he would look to his God. He would encourage himself in truth, in the promises. He would allow himself to begin to think as God thinks. What does God think about me? What does God say about this? Rehearsing the promises and counting the blessings and feeding on the truth. And we must learn to do that also. Not feed on the ashes, but feed on the word of God. Feed on the truth. Let you yourself have the sense of being strengthened and encouraged according to the word of God. Otherwise, I'll be like the Egyptian in the field who hadn't eaten for 3 days. He's on the brink of death. And that's how some people are spiritually. They are not strong. They are not fit. They are not equipped. For they are not feeding on the truth. They are not encouraging themselves in the Lord. And they wonder why. Oh, my faith is so weak. Oh, I am so troubled. Oh, I am so fearful. Well, of course, if I am living in my natural thinking, if I am allowing my emotions to lead me in all of the impulses and stimulus that's around me through a crisis, of course, I will be that way. But if I encourage myself in the Lord, oh, we must learn to do that. It's an important part of our artillery as Christians. That we, Jude 1:20, build yourself up on the most holy faith. The Bible, the truth, be in the word. Oh, be in the word day and night. God gives us the secret of being blessed in this life, in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not do this, but he does this. His delight will be in the word of God. He will meditate on it day and night. And he will be as a tree planted by rivers of water, bearing his fruit in his season, and his fruit shall not wither. Blessed is the man who encourages himself in the Lord, who walks in the truth, who lives by faith, who has courage in the time of crisis. So we see how the story ends, that David recovered all, but we don't forget where it began, that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Oh, let us do that, even now as we pray together and in these important days in our life. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for this wonderful history, for this incredible story in the life of David. How instructional it is for us as we see how crucial, how important it is as your children that we learn how to encourage ourselves in our God, for you are our God. Help us encourage ourselves in the truth, in our position that we are in Christ, that we are your children, that you have a plan and a purpose and a peace for us. Oh, help us in these troubled times, in this time of crisis, in this world that we live in. Help us find your perfect peace and your assurance and your courage, that we might be encouraged in the Lord, in you, Lord Jesus. Perhaps there's someone listening this morning, or you're not sure of your salvation. You've perhaps listened to this message but you have a question mark in terms of Jesus being your Savior. Oh, put your faith in him today. Even in this moment, take pause and say, Jesus, I look to you in this moment. I pray to you. I ask that you would be my Savior. For I am a sinner, and I believe you are the Savior. And I trust you today by grace through faith. I believe in you. I ask you to save me by your grace today in Jesus' name. And bless each one of us now as we go on to our day. And keep us and cover us and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. I'm just getting a note here that certain ones are listening from around the world and sending messages. Great to have you. Thank you for tuning in from different countries, different places. We hope you can stay with us again. We'll be doing a live stream on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock our time. And also we have the archives and messages online. If you would visit studytheword.co.uk, I believe it is, it will take you to our YouTube page. If you could subscribe to that, would really help us build up subscribers. It would help us in terms of live streaming and things like that. That would be greatly appreciated. So we're praying for one another. God bless the PESPEFC family. Have a great day in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.